always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The House passing a budget blueprint, the first step toward a so-called big, beautiful bill that President Trump wants. It includes $4.5 trillion in tax breaks. The U.S. and Ukraine have reached an agreement on a framework for a deal that would include access to Ukraine's rare earth minerals. Close call at Chicago's Midway Airport. A Southwest Airlines jet had to abort a landing moments from touching down when a private jet taxied in front of it. The FAA and NTSB are investigating, but says ABC News contributor and former Marine pilot Steve Ganyard.
Once again, we see that human error may have played a role, whether it was in the cockpit or in the control tower, but it's becoming the most dangerous place for aviation, and that is on the ground.
ABC station WLS says a pilot of the private jet was told to hold short of the runway 9 times. Hamas set to turn over the bodies of 4 dead Israeli hostages today in exchange for Israel's release of hundreds of Palestinian prisoners. This is ABC News. A 21-year-old from Texas in custody accused of plotting to kill police officers in the Dallas area. He was arrested with a fully loaded assault-style weapon. Bird flu continues wreaking havoc on egg lovers and bakers nationwide. ABC's Ariel Reshev has more on how it's affecting just one business in Manhattan.
The beloved Hungarian pastry shop in New York City goes through 30 dozen eggs every day.
Those cases have all doubled in price in the last month. Easy. Some of them more.
So. And you're eating that cost right now?
Entirely.
Owner Philip Benyores says it's only a matter of time before he's forced to hike prices.
We're getting pinched, and I don't know where it's going to stop, and that's the problem.
With Easter just around the corner, driving demand for eggs even higher, some business owners tell us they are worried this could get even worse.
New estimates say egg prices could jump 41% more this year alone. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Badgers bounce back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. Wisconsin with a win over Washington at the Kohl Center, 88-62. Head coach Greg Gard on the Badgers' fast start.
We were in attack mode from start to finish, and really, I don't think I'll go through the film and look at the possessions, but I don't think we ever really relented.
In Milwaukee, Marquette beat Providence by 30 points, 82-52. NBA, the Bucks' shots came up short. They lose in Houston to the Rockets, 100-97. At the NFL Combine in Indy, the Packers asking for the league to ban the Eagles' tush-push play. GM Brian Gutekunst.
Yeah, I'm aware of it. We really haven't had very many discussions about it. I'm sure we will over the next few weeks as we head into the owners' meetings.
Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni.
I think that the competition committee will do a good job of looking at everything. Just because it's a successful play for us doesn't mean that it should go away.
That's the Eagles' Nick Sirianni with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There is streaming news as Oscar-nominated films make their way to the small screen, with the Academy Awards right around the corner. A Complete Unknown is now available to stream. The Bob Dylan biopic is available on Amazon Prime, but it ain't cheap. The film could be rented for $24.99 or purchased for $29.99. So if you really want to see the film before the Oscar broadcast and have a kidney to spare, go ahead and sell it and check out this really good movie starring Timothy Chalamet, Ed Norton, and Monica Barbaro, all of whom are nominated for an acting Oscar. Wicked Wicked pulled in $727 million globally, which is the most ever by an adaptation from a Broadway show. The film is now also available to watch at home. It broke records on its first week of digital release, which began December 31st, and pulled in another $70 million. If you have Peacock, you can watch the film March 21st for a much more sensible price. Nickel Boys is also now available to stream for $20 on Fandango at home. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A little foggy and frosty this morning, and then it will stay mostly cloudy here through the day today. Our high 42 with northwest wind at 5 to 15. Tonight, some light snow, around a half inch or so, 27 our low. Tomorrow, breezy, mostly cloudy, 38 by Friday. Rain and snow showers with a high of 44. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild teaming up with Jess BS while I am out pursuing my life, liberty, pursuit of happiness on a beach. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good day, sunshine.
I am Chad Holmes.
Oh. Good day, sunshine.
An absolutely smooth start here this morning. Good morning. I am Chad Holmes, sitting in for Pat Kreitlow. Pat will be back on Friday, but Civic Media Mornings, looking outside here in downtown Wausau at our WXCO studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau here in central Wisconsin, hanging around freezing, so some slick walkways and roads, as I found out as I walked across the street here to join you here this morning, but very happy to be sitting in for Pat, and hopefully we can have a good time over the next couple of hours. Coming up over the next 2 hours, we're going to touch on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race as one of the candidates coming here to Wausau, and I'll get a chance to talk to her tomorrow. That'll be coming up here in this hour. Also coming up here in this first hour, going to do something that I enjoy, and sometimes, doggone it, when you have the microphone, you take advantage of it. And one of the best parts of my job is getting an opportunity to talk to a lot of young people. Part of my job is broadcasting high school sports here on WXCO. And coming up this weekend, one of the big events of the winter high school state tournament season down at the Kohl Center, the WIAA State Individual Wrestling Tournament. They always pack the Kohl Center Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And yesterday afternoon, after school was done, had four qualifiers for that tournament from Wausau West High School, including three girls. And girls wrestling is a sport that is really starting to grow here in the state of Wisconsin. So it was really nice to have these four young people come in who have qualified for state. We'll hear from them later in this hour. And coming up in the next hour as well, talk a little bit more of sports. We're going to talk about the stuff that gets me going and Greg going as well. But coming up, we'll talk a little bit of sports with our Civic Media Sports Director, Jimmy Cuska, in the second hour. I know that sometimes people say, oh, turn it off with the sports talk, but we're not going to do a whole lot of it, but we will have some of it here this morning. Very happy to bring in the man that will make me try to sound decent here for the next 2 hours, our producer Greg Bach. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, Chad. How are you today? You're looking very nice in your sweater and shirt. You look very spiffy.
Well, I tell you, I did not. I'm coming in this morning. Well, no, first of all, before I talk about last night and early this morning, I am coming in this morning, and I'm listening to WXCO, and in the 5 o'clock hour here, I don't know if it's the case throughout the state of Wisconsin. They rerun last night's Nightlight with Peach Wama.
Yeah.
And I'm listening as I'm coming in, and he has as a guest Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And I'm grumpy. I'm coming in. I had a long night last night. We're gonna get into that here in just a moment. But I hear Dr. Lyerly on, and so she's on like at 7 o'clock last night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when does that woman stop.
She doesn't.
I mean, she doesn't. She's on this program so often early in the morning. She substituted with you back in the dock last week, 3 or 4 days. And I'm thinking, I'm just dragging right now trying to get here into the studio, and there's Dr. Kristen Lyerly on Nightlight.
Yeah. So she was supposed to be on the show on Civic Media Mornings yesterday with Dan Schaefer, but she had to cancel last minute because she had to deliver a baby. But then she was on Matt and Air on Air in the morning around 11 o'clock, and then she was on Nightlight. I don't know when she sleeps. No idea. I'm just going to chalk it up to, you know, a good meal, a good diet, and prayer. That's all I'm going to say. Like, I don't know. I have no idea.
I know it. So no complaints.
Nope.
After hearing that as I came in this morning.
Yeah.
By the way, how do people contact the show? Because I know the number for this show is a little different than the number for my show. How can people join us here this morning?
Very simple. They can call or text at the same number, 855-752-4852. 855-752-4842. Wow. It's morning time. I got that. I'm going to do that number one more time correctly. 855-752-4842. You can also join us on the live stream. We're streaming on Civic Media's YouTube account, as well as we still call it Twitter in this house. And you can leave a comment on the live stream, but feel free to call or text. We'd love to hear from you and tell us what you're thinking about what's going on in the world.
Yeah. If there's something we are talking about, if there's something we are not talking about, would love to hear from you. And again, would love to have you be part of the show and get that app. It is a wonderful piece of technology, I tell you.
Yeah, it's free.
Make it real simple. Just hit that button, call, hit that button, the text, and Greg will be able to pick you up and hear his friendly voice as well. But I tell you, last night, this is one of my favorite times of the year. These like 3-4 weeks here for the winter sports season playoffs. And last night, I was over at the Marathon Park Ice Arena here in Wausau. The hockey sectionals are going on. And unbelievable hockey game. And Wausau West played New Richmond, two of the top ranked teams in the state, two wins away from a trip to the state tournament. And it was a packed house. It was an up and down game. Wausau West came back from a 2-goal deficit in the third period. So if my voice sounds a little bit raw early, I went over the top as they came back, scored a goal in the final minute of regulation, wins it 6-5. Now moves on to a sectional final on Friday night. So often, and I find myself on my program as well, we talk about things where you, what do you call it, spicy chat?
Sometimes spicy chat.
I get a little spicy because there are things that make us, you know, you shake your head.
Yeah.
You think things should be better. One thing that keeps me grounded and keeps me coming back, because doggone it, you may not believe this, but there are times where, especially after November, where it's like, I can't do this for 4 years. I can't. I got to think of something else to do. But you come in, you realize it's important to talk about certain issues and talk about the things that are important to our everyday lives here in the Wausau area for me on my show and then throughout the state of Wisconsin on Civic Media. And then I get this opportunity so many times, especially in the winter, on Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays to go see these young people. And as I said, one of the best parts of the job is bringing in the kids. And I do it with the sports, but I also bring in a lot of the extracurricular activities. We have a lot of really, really terrific theater events here in this area that I bring in the stars of these shows. These young people that are just fantastic, and to be part of last night's game and to look forward to more coming up, there really is a lot that you can wrap your arms around that, hey, we're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to get through this. We're going to, push forward. And I it makes, and that's why I can get up here and come back and do this morning. And that's why, that later in this hour, we're going to hear from these four of these young people. I mean, it was so much fun to have them come in yesterday. They came right from school, and we sat around this table, a table made for three. We had five of us around it, and it was just fantastic. So, again, we're going to get serious here. We're going to talk about some serious issues, but at the same time, if we just keep our eye on the ball, if we are able to, you know, try to push the rock forward a little bit, there are people behind us that are going to be able to push that rock even further and hopefully be able to turn things around in a lot of good ways as we do move forward.
Absolutely. I mean, it'd be easy to say I can't do this, but there are a lot of people out there who don't have that opportunity or that choice. They have to be a part of what's going on. And if we have a voice and we can lend some help or just a moment of distraction away from the craziness with interviews like young people doing great in sports or academically or in theater, then that's what we do because that's our privilege to do it. So, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, and there's so much out there right now. I mean, I think maybe at some point here this morning I want to talk a little bit about what is happening here in the Wausau area. We are in the midst still. I mean, I'm sure that I know you that it was a statewide story that even was picked up, I think, nationally back in late September. I mean, this process sometimes feels like it takes forever. But, I mean, you remember when the mayor of Wausau put on his hard hat, put on his public works vest, and went to the city hall and hauled away with pictures being taken, the Dropbox. And this week we are continuing the process with the ethics committee.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is just this week, a couple nights ago, in fact, at the council meeting, the mayor made a nominee for the ethics committee, not the actual committee, but one of the backup. I forget the exact language on it, but
an alternate
already, alternate. Very, that's why you're here. I tell you, the mind is not working this early, but and the fact is, one of the members of the committee already has recused themselves, and who knows, it could be others as well. But this alternate is one of the workers in Tom Tiffany's office. You know, old Toxic Tom, you know?
Old National Parks Tom Tiffany, all right.
There you go. But there were folks on my social media that, I mean, there are so many things that are not good about social media, but yeah. Also there are so many good things in terms of finding out information. And they were able to dig up some old social media for this young man who works for Tiffany, who wants to be nominated as the alternate by the mayor. Mm-hmm. He was big into one of the things that just, I get so annoyed with. You remember those Trump boat rallies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, here in North Central Wisconsin, this guy was a big part of the Trump boat rally up in Lincoln County in Merrill. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, we want this guy to be one of the judges on an ethics complaint against Mayor Denny. And the thing about it, I talked about this yesterday in my program. One of the things, and I said, hey, we all have our own political biases. Mm-hmm. That will not disqualify us from serving on a committee like this. There are people on this committee who gave money to former Mayor Katie Rosenberg. But the thing about the MAGAs that I have found disturbing is they don't seem to have that ability to take a step back and say, I'm going to look at the evidence and make a proper decision. They are so targeted in on their philosophy that I have not had the sense that they are able to step back and say, hey, if you give me evidence that this is wrong, I'm going to change my mind. And that worries me about a potential nominee like this. But we have to take a quick timeout. Again, great to be here this morning, sitting in for Pat Kreitlow. Be with you until 8 a.m. And reminder, you can stick around. I'll be on from 8 till 10 here on WXCO as well. Hey, got to pump up those ratings. But we'll be back here on Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show. No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In the coming weeks, Virginia GOP Governor Glenn Youngkin considers multiple pro-voter bills sent to his desk by a Democratic majority legislature. A state constitutional amendment also moves to the November ballot, which restores voting rights to returning citizens after felony convictions. Almost a dozen pro-voter bills have advanced in January and February, most recently protecting voters from premature purges. Last August, Youngkin ordered voter registration purges within 90 days of the election, upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court just 2 weeks before the election. In response, the Virginia legislature passed House bills prohibiting the purging of a voter using unverified external data as justification and establishing specific criteria for removal. SB 813 specifically prohibits voter list purges within 90 days of the election. After blocking GOP attempts to shorten early voting in primaries, the legislature passed SB 760, extending deadlines for returning mail-in ballots to 3 days after Election Day and allowing curing of deficient ballots. In 2023, Governor Youngkin reversed policies of recent governors and restores voting rights to citizens who've completed felony sentences only on a case-by-case basis. House Resolution 2 would automatically restore those rights and will appear on the November 2025 ballot. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Yes.
And welcome back. Civic Media Mornings. Holy cow. I need to be juiced up this morning. So,
I was looking for a song about what you wanted to talk about next, and there was just nothing quick I could find.
What is that, by the way?
It's Sign of Judgment by Mary and Faithful. They all can't be winners.
Yeah. Hey, Mary Ann Faithful just passed away recently.
Yeah. I really did well on that one, Chad. I could have given you.
No, it is. It's.
I could have given you this, like. There you go.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, get pumped, Chad.
Breaking the law. No, that's breaking the law. Hey, coming up, of course, on April 1, we are, it's Wednesday, so that means 5 weeks ago yesterday?
Math
is correct?
Yep.
Spring election day. Yes, it's that time again. And then, yes, I've started to hear some commercials here on the radio. I shouldn't say the big race, but I would say a big race is for state Supreme Court, and very excited. And I'm gonna bring you in and let you promote it as well, because apparently, and I think it's good news that Judge Susan Crawford has decided that she wants to get the voice out there. In fact, she will be coming here to Wausau tomorrow for some campaign events. And while she is here, she's gonna call into my show tomorrow morning. We'll be talking to her at 9:20 tomorrow morning on the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa, searching WXCO in the Civic Media app. And I brought that up to you earlier, and then you said, she's going to be with you and Jane tomorrow as well.
I'm sorry. Yeah, she'll be on Matt and Air on air tomorrow at 11 a.m. She'll be calling into the show. And like Chad said, you can listen to us either on your radio station, or you can listen to it over the app. If you miss it with us or with Chad, go to civicmedia.us, go to the show page, and you can actually download it and listen to it back if you can't catch it live on the radio. You can listen to our shows as podcasts, everybody. Oh, baby. So, yeah. She's doing what she's got to do. She's got to hit them airwaves. She's got to get on. She's got to start talking to people. She's got to letting people know who she is and what she stands for, because it's a judge's race. Who doesn't love that?
Well, and the thing about it is, if you don't get out there and define yourself, they will define you. And one of the reasons I want to bring this up is when obviously, you know, we're all very busy, and we are, you know, once in a while you want to kind of step away from it. And when I get home after a long day of trying to save democracy or do high school sports, I say that in jest, people. I do not have a runaway ego. No. But I love to go home, and I love to watch YouTube. Yeah. And usually a lot of comedic stuff, a lot of comedy.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of roll with when I want to step away. But obviously, part of YouTube, and I do not have the YouTube whatever plus or whatever they call it, where you can avoid the ads, but the ads will come on. And I have noticed that it feels like, and I don't know whether they're targeted me or people like me, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce has been putting their line into the water, as they tend to do for election season. And they have this spot that seems to run over and over and over again. And I use the term line, fishing line, intentionally, because this commercial says she's known as Catch and Release Crawford. And I'm thinking, who knows her as Catch and Release Crawford? And the thing is, I've come, since I started working for Civic Media and starting to do my show, where you have to be very, very, I think, politically aware.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've done the last couple of election cycles is really focus on who is putting the money behind these spots. I think when you see a commercial, it would go a long way towards making a judgment on whether or not you should take it seriously by looking at who is putting out this spot. And Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and I'm going to be a little Pollyanna here and say, well, you think, well, they're the number one business organization in the state. Why are they putting out spots like this? How does this have to do with business and growth? And then you start digging into that, and it's disturbing. I mean, you would expect more. Again, maybe I'm being a little naive here, but the idea of them putting out this garbage spot, I don't know. Am I being a little overly naive here?
No, I don't think you're being overly naive, though, Chad. But I will say that, you know, when as everyone should know, a judge's race is always nonpartisan. But when a Chamber of Commerce gets involved, they're usually endorsing the quote unquote conservative judge in the race. And if the Chamber of Commerce of whatever town, city, state, whatever, wants to endorse a politician, a senator, a congressman, whatever, I understand that. But what you're saying, I get too. Why do you want to have a judge in your pocket, if you will? And I guess that means, do you think your business is going to come up before the Supreme Court? And if it does, well, if the Chamber of Commerce heavily endorses you in a race like this, a highly contested state Supreme Court, well, then I would think that judge would want to recuse themselves because they took money from you. I mean, depending on how much, but if they're throwing hundreds of thousands of dollars your way, then I don't know. Like, that just seems, something smells fishy.
And also one area that I would almost say, okay, I can get it, is if they did spots that targeted business issues.
Yeah.
If it had something to do with what they're supposedly an organization formed to do. Their organization is not one that is concerned in terms of incarceration or victims' rights or whatever you may within that box in terms of the issues. The idea of Catch and Release Crawford. I mean, how does that have anything to do with the core mission of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce? And again, you would hope that an organization, a major organization that puts an incredibly large amount of money into these campaigns, would be trying to do something that would enlighten the populace. And again, I know it's being a little bit overly naive, but I mean, of the organizations that we see, I'm not sure who else puts in as much money than Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce in a lot of these statewide races.
Yeah, I could talk about this. We got to go to a break, but I could talk about this for hours. So, all right. There we go.
Oh, man.
Wrap it up, Chad.
I wanted to hear what was going on in that head of yours right there, because I know that you think a lot about this. Because, again, I think one of our core missions here is we want to make better democracy.
Yeah, exactly.
An ad like that and the way that they use their power does not aid that. We're going to take a timeout, come right back after an information update here on Civic Media Mornings.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
When you go to a grocery store, there's one product that has everyone scratching their heads on why it's so expensive. That being eggs. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and although they are expensive in your grocery store, restaurants are having an even more difficult time. I was able to talk with Susan Quam, the Executive Vice President of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, on how these egg shortages and prices are impacting their industry.
The supply chain for eggs for the restaurant industry is a little different than that for the grocery stores, just because they're packaged different. So not every egg facility packages for restaurants. So it's a limited number of facilities that can do that. If they're experiencing a specific shortage, or depending on where, you know, some of the bird flu flock situations have occurred, that is definitely making this a regional issue for a lot of operators. Now, obviously, across the supply chain, we've seen a minimum of a 45 to 50% increase in prices just in the last 12 months.
Quam says that having the shortage is causing some restaurants and bakeries to switch to liquid egg substitutes instead of the real thing, just to try to make costs stay lower. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at the markets right after this.
Just stop and listen to these great details on our next farm tour. Hi, everybody. I'm PM Yankee, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th as we head to the Canadian Rockies, Vancouver, Victoria, as well as agricultural highlights. We'll start in Calgary and visit their expansive Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour and meet a Mountie. Next, we board a via rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Once we arrive in Vancouver, we'll enjoy award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery and also take a ferry to Vancouver Island for a stroll through Bouchard Gardens. We'll learn about farming life on the island during fascinating visits to a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword PAM to get a brochure or watch a travel show. Again, July 26th through August 4th, join me for our next tour of the Canadian Rockies.
I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's see how the markets are moving this morning. A bit of a mix today as cash corn is up 1.5 at 481 and a quarter, and new crop corn is up a quarter at 470 and a quarter. March soybeans are down 1.5 at 1029 and three quarters, and November soybeans are down 2.25 at 1048 and three quarters. March wheat is up 2.75 at 575 and a half, and July wheat is up 3 at 605 and a quarter. Class 3 milk is mixed as March contracts are down 2 cents at 1868 a hundredweight, and April contracts are up 11 cents at 1851 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A little foggy and frosty this morning, and then it will stay mostly cloudy here through the day today. Our high 42 with northwest wind at 5 to 15. Tonight, some light snow, around a half inch or so, 27 our low. Tomorrow, breezy, mostly cloudy, 38 by Friday. Rain and snow showers with a high of 44. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends. Period.
That is
and
so well put.
And that matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, Tom Paulswitz and I dig into DEI in the age of Trump. We share with you some of the things MLK said that you may never have heard of.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
It's me versus you and love. 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 We'll tag team.
Hey, and welcome back to Civic Media Mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Chad Holmes, sitting in today for Pat Kreitlow. And yesterday afternoon, after school, I had a chance to have a visit here in our studio with four members of the Wausau West High School wrestling team, one boy and three girls. And girls wrestling right now, one of the biggest, I think, growing sports in central Wisconsin. The WIAA State Wrestling Meet, one of the big, big state tournaments. They fill up the Kohl Center Thursday, Friday, and Saturday coming up this weekend. And in studio, I had Sam Volm from the Warrior Boys wrestling team and Ailey Lee, a freshman, and a pair of juniors, Madeline Lee and Emma Hugenbeck, who came in to talk about wrestling, the growth of girls wrestling, and the state tournament. And here's the conversation that I had with those very impressive young people.
I started wrestling in sixth grade in middle school, and what got me into it was I was already in like MMA sports, and I wanted to get better knowledge and get more familiar with other ones, so I decided to join wrestling also.
And Ailey, as a freshman, obviously maybe not as long of a journey here, but how old were you when you first got into it, and what was the spark that got you into it?
Well, I started wrestling in seventh grade, and I was really inspired to wrestle from Madeline.
And Emma, how about you? Because actually it's interesting because I know I've seen your sister volleyball. Your mom coaches at Wausau West as well, and you're on the mat. So how long have you been wrestling? What got you into it?
So a little differently, I've only been wrestling since sophomore year, so last year. I did it because my friends were doing it, and they said I would be good at it. And I wanted to do something a little bit different than what I had been doing, and then a little bit different than my sister, too.
And Sam, what about you? Again, what year are you in, and how long have you been wrestling, and what got you into it?
I'm a junior, wrestled at 113 this year. I started at 120 and cut down. I've been wrestling for a long time, since like first grade. I took a year off in fourth grade, still practice, and the biggest reason I'm a wrestler is because of my dad. He got me started at a young age, and I've just been doing it ever since.
Let me ask you, because you mentioned that you actually cut down on your weight, and that we've heard stories like that in wrestling. How difficult is that? I mean, when you have to either go up a weight or go down a weight, is that difficult?
In some cases, it's difficult, but like if you get a good enough plan and you stick true to it, it's a lot easier, and it helps you out, and especially like your work ethic in the room. If you're sweating hard, working hard, it's a lot easier to drop weight, and if you stick true to the dieting plan.
I want to ask you all about earning this spot, because obviously it's a process. You go through your season, you go through the regionals, you go to the sectionals. And let's talk about last week's sectionals. When you punched that ticket, when you earned the spot that gets you to state, what was that feeling like? Well, again, we'll go around the table here, and again, we'll start with Madeline.
I think it was definitely, like, obviously a great feeling, because last year I was unfortunately not able to make it a state, and finally making it this year, it felt like a big accomplishment. I mean, I've been working since last year to make it a state. I mean, you work all year round. This whole entire season is just dedicated to state, I feel, and being able to punch my ticket and finally, like, have that stress off my shoulders that I'm actually going there, it just felt amazing.
Ailey, let me ask you in a little different way, because as a freshman, to get to this level obviously is incredibly impressive. Was this a surprise? Was it something that you felt you had in you during the course of the entire season? How surprised are you to be going to the state tournament?
Well, I've been also having the same goal of going to the state tournament. My middle school years, I also went to the youth state tournament, so state wasn't something I hadn't planned. But to your first question, how it felt qualifying, I was wrestling for that second place. And the girl that I was wrestling was, for the last 2 weeks, I've lost to her. So that feeling of just beating her to get that second place to go to state was very rewarding.
Let me ask you then along that line, what was the difference? Because I think whether it's a team sport, whether it's an individual competition, when you have somebody that has beaten you before and then you're able to turn the tables, what was the difference? What allowed you to turn it around? Because obviously it was not in a long period of time. You'd faced her rather recently. What allowed you to earn that win?
I think it's just like the small details, watching film and just like critiquing the little mistakes that you made in previous matches.
And Emma, again, very new to the sport to make it to state. Not only make it, but you were the sectional champion as well. How surprising has it been in your 2 years doing this? Or is it something that was like a duck to water?
Something that like one of my coaches has always said to me is take it one match at a time. So I've never really been the type to think all the way ahead to state. So I was very happy, and I was very tired at the end of my finals match, and I was just so happy to have taken that match like as the one it was and be able to come out successful at the end.
And Sam, I should ask real quickly as well, is this your first trip to state?
Yeah.
Okay, so number one, when you punched that ticket at sectionals, the feeling, and what were the expectations for yourself at the start of the season? And was this something that was a big goal, or is it something that sort of came up as the season went on?
Yeah, making the punch to state was amazing. It was a very good feeling, and to think that your work has paid off and everything throughout the season and all the things that you go through. And then this was definitely a goal of mine at the beginning of the season, knowing that I'm an experienced wrestler and I've been on the varsity lineup before and I've been to sectionals. Last year I unfortunately got knocked out first round, and this year I definitely want to make it like longer and get into the finals match. And even though I took second, still punching the ticket to state was a big thing for me.
Again, we're talking to Sam Volm, Ailey Lee, Madeline Lee, and Emma Hugenvik, all Wausau West wrestlers heading to the state individual tournament this weekend, starting on Thursday and going through Saturday down in Madison. The state wrestling tournament is known as one of the, I think, the biggest crowds, great excitement. Have each of you been to the state tournament as spectators? And what are you expecting the first time you each get on the mat? Is it something that you have to control your emotions? Is it much different than maybe a sectional or even a regular season match? Obviously, the big difference is being in a huge arena. But what is the expectation of when you get to Madison? Do you expect to have to keep your emotions under control? And we'll start again with Madeline.
So I was there my freshman year, and wrestling there is definitely a lot different. I mean, you get down there and everybody's like, it feels like everyone's looking at you. So being down there on the mat is like, you're just like surprised and like just stars like struck. So what I did, I just kind of had to block it out and just focus on my match and like not think about the crowd, not think about anybody else but the person that I'm wrestling. So I think this time I'm going to do like the same thing and just be more focused and block everything out.
And Ailey, how about you? Do you have a sense of what it's going to be like down in Madison? Is it any different than maybe some of the other big matches you've had?
Well, I'm assuming it's going to be something similar to the Alliance Center for the youth state tournament, and where it's just big lights, big mats, surrounded by a bunch of people. And I'm really going to just focus on just being like in my head, focusing on my match, not the lights, not the people.
Along the same lines, Emma, since you got your ticket punched to the state tournament, every night, I imagine when you go to bed, you're thinking about it. What are the thoughts that go through your mind? How do you get yourself best prepared in order to compete at the highest level?
So last year when I like attended the state tournament as a spectator, I just remember being in awe of like the people down there and just how like they looked like little, they looked like little ants. And I've been definitely thinking about it and kind of the same thing, like just focusing on my match and blocking out the noise and the lights and all of that stuff, because like you're the only person that matters in the end.
And Sam, you said that you've got a little, you've got experience. You've since a first grader being on the mats. Mm-hmm. Are you able to use all the experiences you've had over the past 10 years or so to try to be as ready as possible, not to let the moment overwhelm you?
Yeah, definitely. The experience throughout the years of wrestling and certain different tournaments and bigger tournaments and stuff like that is definitely going to help. But I feel like being down there in Madison is going to be a different type of feeling, being in that big stadium like that, and especially with as many people as there can be watching you. I'm definitely going to try to take the moment in and embrace it, but then, of course, I got to focus on myself and my priorities and try to look forward and pass that and hone in my ability.
And I want to ask the girls, well, we know before we run out of time, why do you think girls wrestling has been getting more and more popular? Because it has been. It feels like it feels as though that it's been growing. I mean, there never used to be the actual separate girls tournament until the last few years. What's been a key in terms of girls wrestling starting to get a real toehold here in Wisconsin?
I think it's getting so popular because it's just like, you look at it and it just looks cool and everyone's doing it and just getting so much popularity, and like you see the boys do it, boy dominated sport, and then more girls start doing it, and I don't know, just like seeing the little girls do it too, I think they just take inspiration and stuff.
And Ailey, it sounds like you've been around it for quite a while in terms of different kind of tournaments. When you do talk maybe to others who are involved in it, do you have a sense that it really is grabbing hold of a lot of girls and that it's going to continue to grow?
I think the sport will continue to grow a lot in further years. I think that it's been so interesting to others is because, like, I don't know, I've seen, like, a lot of people. It seems like they find it very interesting. It's not your common sport, mm-hmm. nothing like your volleyball and, like gymnastics and all that. It's more like just something different for everybody.
And, Emma, when you first started, what was the reaction maybe of your friends and family? Because you said it, you just jumped into it as a sophomore. What did people think when you say, hey, I'm gonna go out and be on the Wausau West girls wrestling team?
For me, I definitely, people kind of expected me to do it. Just kind of the way I am. They said it fits my personality. And so, and just like my work ethic as well. And I think because of girls wrestling, there's such a big community that any girl could be a wrestler. Like any girl can go up and try it. It just takes like discipline and your work ethic, but like it doesn't matter who you are, you can be a wrestler, which I think includes like all girls in the sport.
And Sam, we have three girls from the Wausau West team going to state, and you are the lone representative at individual state for the Warrior Boys. Do you feel an additional sense of responsibility, maybe even a little sense of pride being the one representative for Wausau West Wrestling?
Yeah, I definitely feel that, and it's very cool to be the one and only guy down there, even though I wish that there was others that came with me, but yeah.
And I guess finally, as you each look at, do you all look at your brackets? Do you feel like, how tough is each of your brackets? We got only about 45 seconds to go. So real quickly, I'm going to go around the table. And what is your expectations going in? And again, Madeline, we'll start with you.
My expectations are high for myself, but I do have a tough bracket. But I know if I stay focused and focus on each match one by one, then I'll be able to do good.
And what about you, Ailey? How closely have you looked at that bracket, and what do you expect?
Well, I think if I keep wrestling hard, I can work hard and maybe place, but I do have a tough bracket, and I just think I should just focus, and it'll be good.
And Emma, you've got a couple of OA championships on the road to state. Can you add to it down there?
I think my bracket's pretty tough too, but I think every bracket is. But just, again, like taking it one match at a time, just focusing on my first one before I move ahead.
And Sam, what about you? What's your expectations?
Like Emma said, every bracket down at state's very hard to compete in. And myself, I think I can go farther than expected. And that's just what I'm looking for. Take it match by match and do the best I can.
Sam Volm, Madeline Lee, Ailey Lee, Emma Hugenvik, congrats on all the success and best of luck down in Madison.
And again, I mentioned earlier, it's one of the joys of the work to be able to have a chance to sit down and give these young people an opportunity to speak to our community, in this case, to be able to speak to even beyond our community. And as I said earlier as well, I mean, anybody that's gone to the state wrestling tournament Thursday, Friday, and Saturday this week at the Kohl Center, they pack them in. It is a huge, huge event. And those young people are going to have a wonderful time. And again, I think that if you have not had an opportunity to go out in your local communities and see some of the activities, whether it's sports or whether it's theater, whether it's band, whether it's choir, there's so much out there that these young people are doing. So, again, very happy to bring those four youngsters from Wausau West High School to you here this morning. Hey, coming up, we're going to have a look at what's going on this date in history, the daily history lesson for February the 26th. That is straight ahead. With Greg Bach, I'm Chad Holmes. It is Civic Media Mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've got the power and the glory in my booty brains. The gloves are off.
The gloves are off. So why you don't have to fight dirty? You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Here's a community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North. The Hayward Community Food Shelf is available for you each first Saturday of the month. Located at the Hayward Community Food Shelf at 16216 U.S. Highway 63 in Hayward. Again, the food shelf is available the first Saturday of the month from 9 a.m. until 12 noon. Another community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In the coming weeks, Virginia GOP Governor Glenn Youngkin considers multiple pro-voter bills sent to his desk by a Democratic majority legislature. A state constitutional amendment also moves to the November ballot, which restores voting rights to returning citizens after felony convictions. Almost a dozen pro-voter bills have advanced in January and February, most recently protecting voters from premature purges. Last August, Youngkin ordered voter registration purges within 90 days of the election, upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court just 2 weeks before the election. In response, the Virginia legislature passed House bills prohibiting the purging of a voter using unverified external data as justification and establishing specific criteria for removal. SB 813 specifically prohibits voter list purges within 90 days of the election. After blocking GOP attempts to shorten early voting in primaries, the legislature passed SB 760, extending deadlines for returning mail-in ballots to 3 days after Election Day and allowing curing of deficient ballots. In 2023, Governor Youngkin reversed policies of recent governors and restores voting rights to citizens who've completed felony sentences only on a case-by-case basis. House Resolution 2 would automatically restore those rights and will appear on the November 2025 ballot. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
When Wilpa will call, and evening is night, I hurry to my blue heaven.
Chad Holmes with you here on this hump day Wednesday, heading downhill towards the weekend. It is February the 26th of 2025, and there's a little Bats domino. He was born on this date 97 years ago today, 1928.
Wow.
And that's one of his big hits, My Blue Heaven. So Bats domino. I mean, in a sense, I would almost say that he was a little older, to be honest with you, in terms of where he was. But no, actually comes out in the 50s. In the 20s and the 30s, then into the 60s, but really one of the early legends.
Absolutely.
But Greg, I guess this is the time of the day that Pat shows how much he knows.
Oh yeah.
Every day comes up with the daily history lesson. Are you a history buff?
Not all of the history ever, but like if there's something I enjoy, I'll definitely dive deep into it. Things like I love baseball history. I love music history. Not really. I'm of a certain age where men start to gravitate towards the history of war and the military. Still not there yet.
And it was interesting to note, and we were kind of touched on this in the break, on this date in history, some events occurring that really would not call them happy event.
No, not at all.
I mean, the list is kind of like, whoa, where's the light touch here? Because you go back 90 years ago today, and one of the big reasons that I'm concerned about, I would say there's a war on history, a war on true history.
Yes.
Put on by the far right in this country, the mega right of this country, because they don't want you to remember what happened in the 1930s.
Yeah.
Because the 1940s and World War II, which here in America, we think about 1941 to 1945.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all, the foundation was laid from the early 1930s. And in fact, on this very day, 1935, 90 years ago today, one of those seeds that ultimately led to the deaths of millions.
Yeah.
War and destruction. And a man named Adolf Hitler, 1935, orders the, is it Luftwaffe?
Luftwaffe.
Okay, very good. To be reformed. And that was a violation of the provisions of the Treaty of Versailles. And one of the things that we notice, I think anybody that's looked at history in that time frame says, notice that when Hitler did start violating provisions of the Treaty of Versailles, the world looked the other way.
Yep.
Kept thinking, hey, okay, we don't want to force the issue here. He's not going to go too far. Some aspects of the Treaty of Versailles, they were saying, were a little bit unfair to Germany. Well, what Hitler saw was weakness.
Yep.
He just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. Speaking of kind of controversies, and I don't know, do you remember Iran-Contra? Because I do.
I do. I was very young, but I do remember. I remember Oliver North testifying in front of the committee. I remember his hand being raised, looking straight ahead, and sitting down, and then years later, being like, "Oh, he's a bad man who gets to make money off of like late night infomercials, awesome, and Fox News."
He was a talk show host too. Yeah. I mean, he does what we do. He did what we do.
Yeah.
But on this date in 1987, the Tower Commission rebukes President Ronald Reagan for not controlling his national security staff. Real interesting. The name, the Tower Commission.
Yeah.
The man who led that commission was Senator John Tower. He was a senator from the state of Texas. And he would get back into the news a couple of years later when George H.W. Bush was elected president. He was nominated to become Secretary of Defense. And the man was qualified in terms of his national security bona fides. He was known as a national security leader mm-hmm. in the United States Senate. But he had some issues with drinking. He had some issues with being a little handsy when he shouldn't have been a little handsy. And in the end, he was not able to get through the United States Senate. The Senate voted him down. And during the last month or so, some of the comparisons were made with himself and Pete Hegseth.
Yeah.
And the idea that we have actually lowered the bar because Tower was qualified, but he had these issues. Hegseth is not qualified, and he had these issues.
Yeah.
And yet, the Republican Party, and I would say the mega Republican Party, looked away.
Yeah.
I mean, craziness. And again, you look back on this state of history and see John Tower. He led that committee. And today, if a guy like John Tower, a Republican, would lead a committee looking into some of the issues from Donald Trump, do you think they would rebuke, as that word said, Donald Trump?
Only if they want to be thrown out of the party.
I know, exactly.
Yeah.
1993 on this date, World Trade Center bombing. We think about
9/11.
We think about 9/11, 2001. Yeah. But the first time the World Trade Center was bombed,
cow.
On this date in 1993, a truck bomb parked below the North Tower of the World Trade Center exploded, killing 6 and injuring over 1,000 people. And I do remember that one as well. But and this one, and I think this one resonates to this very day. 13 years ago today, 17-year-old African-American student Trayvon Martin is shot to death by neighborhood watch coordinator George Zimmerman in an altercation in Sanford, Florida. And in these days, people like George Zimmerman thought of as heroes on the far right.
Yeah.
I mean, sad, pathetic. And you think about where we are, February the 26th, 2025. Instead of moving forward in a lot of these issues, unfortunately, it feels like we're moving backward in a number of these issues.
Where history is repeating itself, basically.
Yeah. No. And the reason it's why? Because we don't learn from it.
Exactly.
I'm that happy. No.
Well, folks, hey. Welcome to this day in history.
The sun is shining. Hey, the thing about it is, as long as we learn about it, yeah. as long as we know about it, then I think hopefully we won't repeat it.
Yep.
Hey, coming up in the next hour, Jimmy Cuska, our Civic Media Sports Director.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Will Westmoreland is a farmer in southwestern Missouri. He has some explanations on why we are where we are today. It's really important. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers trained to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump will hold his first full cabinet meeting today, and the White House confirms Elon Musk will be there as experts in his Department of Government Efficiency quit in protest.
More than 21 computer engineers and project managers who worked with DOGE resigning in protest. They had worked for the U.S. Digital Service, which DOGE replaced. In a letter saying, "We will not use our skills as technologists to jeopardize American sensitive data or dismantle critical public services. We will not lend our expertise to carry out or legitimize DOGE's actions."
ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce. Three senior Ukrainian officials say the U.S. and Ukraine have reached an agreement on a framework for a broad economic deal that would include access to Ukraine's rare earth minerals. Ukrainian President Zelensky is scheduled to visit the White House later this week. This is Pope Francis's 13th day in the hospital. The Vatican says he had a quiet night as he recovers from pneumonia. This is ABC News. A close